after every one of our needs. And Father, we praise you for that. We praise you this morning for our mothers. Lord, we would not be here if it were not for our mothers. And so we give you praise today for how your love is shown many times, time over and over again, through our mothers. The love that our mothers show to us, Lord, and we know that that's the love that you have just dwelt within their heart. The nurturing, Lord, that goes on in each one of our lives, we look back, some of us, Lord, and remember how you nurtured us through our mothers. And so we rejoice today, Father, that we can come into your house and we can worship you, the Lord of everything, including our mothers. And so, Father, we ask that as we still stand in your presence, knowing that you're our God, we declare today to you. We declare, Lord, that this is your church. We declare, Father, that our life is yours. And so we stand as your people, as mighty warriors. And Father, we also pray that you would protect us. Protect us, Lord, for we know that the enemy is just watching and waiting like a lion. And so we pray, Lord, that you would permit us protection. Surround us with a hedge of protection. Protect our families. Father, protect this church. Protect your church. Lord, there are many requests before us, and you know each one, and you know what's required in each situation, and we lift those to you. But today, God, we stand as your people, declaring today is the day of the Lord. This is the day that you have made. As your people, we rejoice, and we are glad in it. May that be our prayer every day, God. I pray this to your glory and to your honor now, in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Great worship. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy and worship team. Great worship this morning. Well, this morning is Mother's Day, and I always get kind of mixed emotions on Mother's Day because I don't think we should need a day to pay special honor to moms, because I think every day should be Mother's Day. Amen? But we set aside a time to reflect, a time to remember, and a time to honor our mothers. And so let's praise God this morning for mothers. For our mothers. And mothers, we want to honor you with a bookmark that you can pick up following this morning service. Don't jump up now. Wait till the service is over, and you grab that bookmark, and you can put it in your Bible or on your fridge or whatever you like to do with it. Well, Mother's Day is a special time, and I never, ever want to take away from how special mothers are. And the Bible says a lot about the gift that a mother is. But I always preach Mother's Day and Father's Day, preach a message that's for everyone and for all of us. There are certain messages that really, no matter how long we are alive, we need to hear them. No matter how much you think you know them, you need to hear them again and again and again, and no matter what the sermon is. These are just some, there's just some, as we always need to be, that we need to be working at, and those messages that we need to just keep on keeping on, and things like obedience to God, or demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit, or displaying the fruit of the Spirit in life. Today is not unlike those important subjects or areas that we continually need reminder of, the power of our mouth, power of words. We're going through this series, and we just started into it, and Brian spoke a couple of Sundays ago about the power of God's Word, and last Sunday we released the power of forgiveness. Many lives were changed last Sunday. We praise God for that. Today we open up the power of words. It amazes me how little we hear about the power of our words, and today it might not be something new for you, but listen, this is not an easy message for me to preach. I'm so glad that all I have to do is just be obedient, because I can't preach this stuff about the words. because I have a mouth on me. Boy, could you tell from Sunday to Sunday? It's there. And I'll tell you, if none of you need this, please permit me to preach to myself because I need it. My gift that God has given me is in my mouth, but it's also been my biggest problem in my life, my mouth. And that's not uncommon, I don't think. We were just talking this morning that often we put our foot in our mouth, and I said sometimes we don't even take our shoe or our boot off. We just shove it on down there, you know. Well, let's jump to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 this morning. As we look at the power of words, chapter 18 of Proverbs, verse 21, I invite you to turn there. And I want you to understand that words are powerful. Words are powerful because they contain life and death. Now, if you look at this passage, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. See, words are powerful because they contain life or death. Now, we choose each moment how we speak. We can either kindle a relationship with someone, or we can kill the relationship. We can breathe life and encouragement into somebody, or we can discourage and repulse them. Our words affect other people for eternity. You think about that. What you say continues. It cannot take him back once it leaves these two puckers around your mouth. Words that we say, comments that we make, continue. That's power. Once we've left a situation after talking to somebody, it still goes on. Over and over in the person's mind or in your mind. That's power. Just as this glass is containing my water. Oh, that's good. Words that we speak have power in them. Understand that. Please, every word that comes out of your mouth has power in it. Either creative, constructive power, or demotivating, deconstructive power. Positive or negative power. How are you speaking life into people today? How do you speak to your spouse? How do you speak to your parents? How do you speak to your children? How about your colleagues? How about your coworkers? How about speaking about people when they're not present with you? How do you deal with your words? The tongue can bring life or death. That's a powerful scripture. The power of life and death is in the tongue. John Maxwell said, few muscles in a body wield more power than the little one inside the mouth. True? Just make sure you heard what the Word of God says, that the power of life and death is in the tongue. In fact, I want you to say with me, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Say it. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Amen? Yeah. Some of you may have never heard about the power of the tongue. Some of you may have heard this many times before, but I think we need to be refreshed. Because it's the most difficult, if not the most difficult thing that we have confronting us on a daily basis is trying to control our mouth. And really, the truth of the matter is the Bible says that no man, no one can tame the tongue. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. Now, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's going to just come along and do it for us. It means that we need to pray on a regular basis for God to help us with this thing. Daily, pray, God. Pray God's help. God, help me. If we read through the Psalms, King David did it all the time. He always did. I mean, he made confessions about his mouth and his words. He always asking God. He was coming to God, and he was asking God to help the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O God. Put a watch over my mouth, O God, lest I sin against you with my tongue. There are all kinds of scripture which speak to us about the power of words, how powerful our tongue is, how powerful our mouth is. You need to be praying, asking God on a daily basis to speak life everywhere you go. Daily. Words have awesome power. Power to love. Power to hate. Power to expire. Power to destroy. You change your words, you change your world. The fact is, very few things impact us more than the words we speak. We need to harness the awesome power of our words and change the course of our future. We need to start being people who are peaceful and pleasant as words come out of our mouth. Even when admonishment is happening, we need to avoid unnecessary offense. And that alone ought to make us crave how we speak. Perhaps you heard the story about poor Jim. He had a problem with his words. He got his wife Hattie a wonderful Mother's Day gift. It was a trip to Europe. Circle around the whole Europe, all of Europe. I know you guys are going, a trip to Europe? You got to be kidding me. I got her a teacup. Well, early in the morning, Hattie had to leave for her trip abroad, and that very day that she left, their cat died. And so when Hattie called home that evening, I mean, Hattie loved their cat. She did, and she asked, "How is everything, Jim? How is everything? I miss you already. How is everything?" And Jim just said, "Well, the cat died." Patty was shocked. And even more so, through tears, she started telling him. She said, how could you do that? How could you just blurt that out? You just didn't even think about it. You were so tactless. You were so strong. You weren't even careful how you were speaking to me. You just said the cat died." And Jim, he said, what should I have said? I mean, the cat died, you know? And he kept going on, and the cat died, cat died. And Hattie gained her composure, and she wiped the tears away, and she said to him, "Here's what you need to do. You should have broken the news gently, like in stages. You know, when I called you from here in New York, you could have said, 'Well, the cat's on the roof.' Next day when I called from London, you could have said, 'Well, he fell off the roof.' Following day from Paris, you could have told me, 'Well, he's at the vet's. He's in the hospital.' And finally from Rome, I could have been informed, 'Our dear, dear, lovely cat passed away.'" Jim paused and he thought about that for a moment. He said, "Oh, thank you, honey. I'm sorry. I apologize." He said, "You know, I've learned, though, next time I will be very tactful about how I speak. I will choose my words very carefully." So Hattie then asked, she said, "By the way, how's Mother doing?" And Jim gathered his words very carefully and he said, "Well, she's on the roof." That's bad. But it isn't the worst, because I'm disappointed to declare that the classic example of misuse of words is the abrasive so-called Christian who feels it's their calling to fight for the truth with little or no regard for another person's feelings, and then shroud that speech all in the name of the Lord. And when the attack's completed, there's a litter of broken hearts, destroyed servants, and bitter souls, and we wonder why church is a place that people avoid. The enemy's working within, friends. Within the walls of the church. Within the circumference of our mouth. He is working right within the walls of the troops, using us to attack one another, not with weapons that we notice, but our words. And unfortunately, the developing part of all this is the preacher, who's often the greatest offender, who seems to delight in devastating people from the pulpit, that scourges rather than encourages, that blasts rather than builds. Told you I needed this morning, didn't I? See, Satan uses this murder weapon inside of our mouth, hidden behind our teeth so often. I think Solomon dripped ink well when he penned these words in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. It says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Wow. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Let me assure you that I'm in the process of grasping all this. Don't think for one moment that I've achieved this. God is still working on this open chocolate hole. That's what goes in there, by the way. I'm still working on Easter bunnies. They're good, by the way, because they're on sale. Words can either lift or they can destroy. And we must pray every day how we're going to speak. That's what God calls us to, and any less would be unacceptable to Him. Words are powerful because they contain life and death. But words are powerful because they contain consequences. Our words will always get results. It's just what kind is the question. I so enjoy what the Bible explains for us, that the wise person uses his tongue to make knowledge acceptable. And who could ever forget the impact of the proverb that says, "The tongue of the wise brings healing." Or, "A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word." You know, those moments where you just get the pun out before anybody else does. Words always contain some impact to the hearer, including ourselves. Used to be a TV ad for a first aid ointment that said, "Stop hurting, start healing." Oh, that should be the church. Stop hurting and start healing. Let's be gentle. Let's be sensitive when we're touching the tender feelings of other people. As believers, we're called not to tear people apart. We have just got to stop doing that kind of stuff. Our words are so powerful. That's why Scripture explains in many, many places about our speech. James says, "Be slow to become angry, quick to listen." Yeah, use these things. We'll be satisfied with the fruit of our words, it goes on. I think we're all smart enough. We know that stuff. I know many times when I felt just great and I meet with somebody and they start asking, "How are you doing today?" And I say, I'm top of the world. I just feel great. They go, "Really?" Well-meaning, you know. "You look rather pale. You look like you've had a hard day. And it's only morning. You look wiped out. You look like you're struggling. How are you really feeling?" By the time they're done with me, I'm ready to check into the hospital. We can say something to somebody that will just make them feel better. We can say something that will make them feel worse. You all understand that, right? Amen? Boy, glad you're still here. Years ago, I used to sell shoes. I still, you know, work on soles. It's just a different kind. That was so bad. Stand-up comedy's out for me. I was really horrible at selling shoes when I began, and it's such a difficult situation. I had a supervisor, a guy who hired me, who thought he was the god of Kenny Shoes, and it didn't matter what I did, it was never good enough. I mean, and one day he pulled me aside, and he looked, and he said, "Hey, Dad, you know what's happening? You're wearing the lousiest shoes I've ever seen. You got to get some Kenny shoes. You got to start doing this. And every day there was something. Dev, I don't like the way you're walking. Dev, I don't like the way you're doing that. Dev, I don't like the way you're drawing the customers over to the purses. I don't like your... Every single thing. I just started to feel like I was being treated very unfairly. And you know what I found out? That there were three friends who felt the same way. That's really fun. We're all Christians. As they were, I found that out. You know, and it's great because you ask, are you a Christian? Yeah, I am. It's great. Well, let me tell you about my boss. You know what he's doing? Talk. Yak. I think that's a Christian telephone company. Yak. I can't believe this. And this isn't right. And this isn't right. And he does this to me. And then all of a sudden that's exactly what it is to all of us. I mean, that's it. You know, he does blah, 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 blah. And God began to deal with me. Search in my heart and start, you know. And I knew I had to just stop this gossip. I just had to stop it. I had to stop the backbiting and the tail bearing. And when I didn't feel like I was treated right, I didn't need to run and tell three other people. And they tell three other people, and they, you know, that commercial. And get everything all stirred up. And then we'd all be in a grouchy mood for the rest of the day. And that wasn't right. And then we'd talk and we'd go on and all the time. And so I came home and I did what everybody does. I told my wife, Joan, behind closed doors. Because that's okay. That's acceptable, apparently. So I came home and I was telling her, and she gave me the best advice possible. The kind you always want to hear when you're going through a really tough time. She said, repent and pray for your boss. Because he's an authority over you. And you have been discrediting him. You need to pray for him. Best advice. After God dealing with me a number of times, I got some discipline and I quit talking and I started praying. And you know what happened next? You all know what happened next. My boss wanted to take me out for coffee. This is the beautiful part. I get a tear in my eye when I think of it. And he said, Dev, if you don't pony up today, you're fired. I thought, that's what I get for praying for this man. Now he's going to fire me. He said, you better start pulling your weight around here or you're gone. I was so shocked I didn't have the heart to tell him I was 110 pounds. That's not much weight. And I tell you, I looked at my boss and I let him have it. Both barrels. I said, I don't have a clue how to sell shoes. Can you help me? And he did. He'd stand behind me the whole day, and he'd observe how I was selling the entire day. I mean, I was courteous to people. I plugged the purses, the shoe shine products. I thought I had this thing down to a T. There was only one problem. Customer would come in, and I'd ask to measure their foot, and usually they would say I'm a size 7. And I would come back and I'd attempt to squeeze a size 9 foot into a size 7 shoe. And I would simply say to the customer, very nice, look lady, your foot's way too big for the shoe. Or something along those lines. And my supervisor, when he regained consciousness, he explained that I never ever tell someone their foot is big. He said, what you've got to do is you got to just smile and explain, you know, let me go get you another shoe. See, their foot, yes, it's too big. Sometimes the shoe is too small. Both the same. But one was an insult and offensive. The other is a compliment and encouraging. Same facts, different words, with great results, because I could sell shoes. But you know, I've been praying about this week. I go home, and behind closed doors, and I talk to my wife, and she's my wife. Happy Mother's Day, dear, by the way. And I'd say I need to... That's your gift. I did it publicly. So. And And we use an excuse. Well, I just got to vent to somebody. God dealt with me on this week. This is what he revealed to me. That was just so... he said, it's not who you're talking about that's the problem. It's the words that you're using that are the problem. And no matter where you're at, Devin, I have to listen to you. I really want you to get this today. The one thing that I believe happens when we depend on the Holy Spirit to tame our tongue, keeping in mind that he is not just going to do it for us, we have to pray for it. I believe the Holy Spirit reminds us, in the book of John it says that the Holy Spirit brings things to our remembrance, so we remember when we start going down a road that we shouldn't do. We start traveling down that road and I'll say, whoa, I better watch my tongue. I better stop right now. Because if you're trusting, you got to trust God to help you as you get into areas that you shouldn't be into, and you'll begin to have a conviction right down in here, in the heart, that you need to just close these two things together. That's why God created lips, so that they can close quick. And as you grow older, it's interesting, I've noticed, my back isn't the greatest, and so I'm a lot slower now. Like, you know, I always am told, come on, Grandpa, let's go. And, you know, and I pick up things slower, and I clean the table slower, and I turn on the TV much slower, and I change channels much slower, but this mouth of mine works just great. Even better sometimes. But these two lips, the upper and the lower, work just as well too, because I can close them. Mm-hmm. In fact, you're going to practice this with me this morning. Say, I love to talk, but I love the Holy Spirit more. So I can close these lips just as quick as this. Hum. I didn't hear the hums. Hum. There we go. And that's the hardest thing that you'll ever have to do in your life. I'm serious. Is close these lips. Because Satan doesn't want you to. The hardest thing that any of us will ever have to do in our life is to have a problem and not say something negative or hurtful or backstabbing. I had a little minor meltdown this week. Not major. A minor. Lasted for about 5 to 7 minutes. But I had to repent when I was done for negative comments and a negative attitude, and I thought, that's always how it is when I'm getting ready to preach on a subject. I'm always given opportunity to practice it. And Satan would have loved me to feel so guilty to come up here and preach on it, but I don't put up with that kind of stuff, so I just tell you straight out that I have to deal with this just like everybody else does. But you know what I've decided? This is the good news. 5 years ago, I would have had a 5 to 7 a week meltdown. Now I'm at 5 to 7 minutes. Not bad, eh? Praise God for that. Making progress, slowly but steady. Tell you 10 years ago, it would have been 5 to 7 months or years. But we start going down a road that we shouldn't go with our words. And some people, they don't even open the mouth and they don't say anything. And that's not the greatest either. Because words, they have power in the spirit realm. Words actually operate in the spirit. Jesus said that, he said, my words, they are spirit and they're life. Words actually operate in the spirit realm because you cannot see them, and they have consequences. They have effect. Somebody says something to you and it goes into you and affects you inside. It can either lift you up or it can tear you down. Why do you think the Bible is so full of love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another? It doesn't say rip each other apart. It doesn't say abrasive talk. It doesn't say backbite whenever you are given the opportunity. It doesn't say take every moment to gossipeth against your brother or sister. You won't find that in the Bible. But the way most Christians behave, we think it's there. And I tell you, that is why more and more people are not finding their way in this world, because of the open discussions or the closet door discussions that have been masked under the umbrella of "the Lord told me to." If we would talk about the Word of God and what God is doing in our life, we would get out of this rut that Satan's put us in. Do you understand what I'm saying today? If you want a deep, rich, fulfilling life that you've always dreamt about, if you want in the spiritual realm to have your life taken care of, believe God when He says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Best thing we can do when we get in trouble is say, I believe the Word of God, I believe that God's Word's true, and that His promises are true. And I tell you, when you speak the Word of God into people, if you take control over your mouth, if you pray every day I can't start my day without saying, God, ordain my lips today. I just want to say and speak what You want. And there may be times where I'm really troubled and times where I really need You. And in those times, I want to trust in You. And God, I just pray that You'd reveal when I go down a path I shouldn't go down. And I tell you, God does that right in here. When you're upset, I'm going to tell you ahead of time. It's hard to do. Take control of your mouth, because everything in you wants to talk about how you feel. And that's why last week we talked about the power of forgiveness. I know some of you took those little cards home. They're in the pews. I think some are still in there. That you will choose to forgive, blank name there, for and what they did, because it made me feel. And you see, we need to go to the One who understands. The One who knows already how we feel. And the One who has the best solution to what we're walking through. And then He is so pleased, because out of our heart He speaks. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. One of the things that I believe that mothers do that are so wonderful is they nurture, they care, they encourage, and they always admonish with love. And I see that in my wife. I see how she does it. And I see how my mother did it when I was growing up. That's something special that we'll always remember. But we can learn an awful lot about ourselves just by listening to what's coming out of our mouth. And I don't know about you, but I've decided I want to know myself better. I don't want to be self-deceived and think that I've got some kind of level of spiritual maturity I don't have. So my heart's always open to God just to teach me. Maybe you need to say, God, just teach me. Teach me through this. Maybe you need to repent today. Maybe that's the start for you. Like I had to do this past week. I had to repent. Tell God, I'm sorry. My mouth got away from me again. I did it all. It was me. And Lord, I ask You to forgive me, because I hurt people around me that I love. Maybe you need to say this morning, Lord, I need to clean up my heart today. Get rid of all this judgmental and backstabbing and gossiping spirit that You want me to be free from today, God. God wants to clean up your heart. Are you in for a transplant today? Talk to Him. If you're coming to God that way today, if you're coming to Christ and saying, Lord, I just repent where I've hurt and failed you with the words I've said. Lord, I need a heart transplant today. Just lift your hand up. Just lift it up. Lord, bless you. 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 Maybe you want to say, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit just to tame my tongue, ordain my lips, tame that tongue of mine. I need that every day. Today is the start of a new day for you. If you make that your prayer this morning, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're saying that today, just tame my tongue, Lord, ordain my lips, each and every day, to speak your truth in love, to speak life into people. May I realize the consequences of my words. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're saying that to him today, lift your hand. Just lift your hand. Lord, bless you, Lord. The hands are over, all over, all over. Father, we thank you. We've already declared that today is Mom's special day. And Lord, as a church, we recognize the heritage that mothers bring even to us here. Lord, even as we worship you, we know it's through the nurture of our moms that we have learned that impact that you have in our life. As Pastor Jeremy explained, 81% of spiritual nurture happens in the home with the mother. And Father, we give you praise for that. Lord, we declare today is a new day for many of us. Lord, a day where we know that there is power right within our mouth, power to curse, power to bless. And Father, we want to be people who are blessing other people. Lord, we want to be a blessing to you. And we know that you are displeased so many times, but you also forgive us in so many ways. And so, Father, we just declare right now that as your people, we will daily try to get control over this tongue with your Spirit's help. And we need that, God. Every one of us needs the Holy Spirit to help us tame this tongue of ours, so that you would be glorified in all that we say and in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Worship team, please.
As Pastor Devin was talking there and praying, the word of the Lord came to my heart. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord my God. May that be the prayer for all of us. And I just want to share with you one more little announcement before we sing our closing song. Is that one of my favorite places in the world to worship is in Africa. And you've never experienced worship the same until you've been in Africa. If you ever get the chance, go to Africa. But if you want a taste of Africa, come out tonight. Tonight at 7:30 p.m. at Messiah Lutheran Church, there is an African-style worship service. And so that's tonight if you're not whining and dining your mother. Right. Let's stand and sing together Our Heart, which says, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in one.